What's the greatest conversion story you've ever heard? I'm sure it was someone who, in our eyes, would be the least likely person to trust in Jesus. One of the greatest conversion stories I've ever heard is the conversion of Jeffrey Dahmer. He was one of America's worst serial killers, and he committed unspeakably horrific acts. You see, he didn't just murder lots of people. He did it in such a horrendously disturbing way, far too disturbing to share the details with you. But while he was in prison, he put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Through the ministry of a chaplain and a local pastor, who each met with him on a weekly basis. It's an amazing story of God's grace. Surely if anyone was beyond the reach of God's grace, it was Jeffrey Dahmer. But God can save anyone. No one is beyond the reach of his grace. And his grace extended even to Jeffrey Dahmer, someone who in our eyes would be the least likely person to trust in Jesus. But perhaps the greatest conversion story of all time is the conversion of Saul, who later became known as the Apostle Paul. He was the great persecutor of the early church. He was extremely passionate about imprisoning and killing Christians. And he wasn't content with persecuting Christians just in Jerusalem. He insisted on travelling to Damascus, which was over 200 kilometres away. Now today, we can fly from Jerusalem to Damascus in less than half an hour. But it would have taken Saul about 2 weeks. So what's the modern day equivalent of travelling for that long to get somewhere now that we can travel by plane? There isn't one. Not even close. We can fly to the other side of the world in less than 24 hours. I hope that highlights the amount of time and effort Saul went to in order to persecute the Christians in Damascus. He was extremely zealous about doing this. Let's look at Acts 9, 1 and 2. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Saul was a sinner. He was a great sinner. He was greatly opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was doing everything he could to destroy the Lord's church. Now, such is the delusion of sin, because Saul thought he was actually serving God by doing this. He believed that Christianity was a false religion, and he thought he was serving God by trying to destroy it. But Saul didn't know the truth. He was in the dark. He was blinded by his sin, and he was heading for God's judgment. He was heading for that great day of reckoning when he'd be punished for all his terrible crimes against God's people, as well as all his many other sins. We are just like Saul. We are sinners. We're great sinners. Now, we may not have persecuted the church like Saul did, but that's only because of time and circumstance. We have exactly the same sinful nature that Saul had. We are capable of committing any kind of sin, even the most horrific. Let's not be tempted to see ourselves as sinners who aren't as bad as others. Every human being is in the same boat. We have the same sinful nature, and we're all capable of committing the same sins. And it's only by God's grace that he keeps some of us from committing the most horrific sins. And just like Saul, we were heading for God's judgment. We were heading for that great day of reckoning when we would be punished for our many sins. But then something astonishing happens to Saul. No one sees it coming, and it's nothing less than a miracle. Saul is miraculously converted by the Lord Jesus. He's on his way to Damascus to continue his relentless persecution of Christians when suddenly Jesus appears to him. Let's look at verses 3-9. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Saul the sinner encounters Jesus the Saviour. Notice that Saul isn't seeking Jesus. He's doing everything he can to fight against Jesus. It's Jesus who seeks Saul. Jesus appears to Saul and saves him by his grace. This is an absolute miracle. Saul, the great persecutor of the church, Jesus saves him. Why would Jesus save him when he's been doing everything he can to persecute Jesus and his church? Surely if anyone deserves to face God's judgment, it's Saul. But that's exactly why Jesus saves Saul, to display his mercy and grace. And it's the same with us, brothers and sisters. We deserved to face God's judgment, but Jesus saved us by his mercy and grace. The same Saviour that saved Saul saved us. We were just as undeserving of salvation as Saul was, but Jesus chose to save us by his mercy and grace. And just like Saul, we weren't seeking Jesus. We were opposed to Jesus. We rejected him as Lord and Saviour until he sought us, until he revealed himself to us and gave us the Holy Spirit, who caused us to be born again and enabled us to trust in Jesus. As Christians, we've each had our own Damascus Road experience. Now, Jesus probably didn't appear to us in the same way he appeared to Saul, but he's revealed himself to us spiritually, and he's converted us. Our conversion was just as much a miracle as Saul's was. Saul the sinner encountered Jesus the Saviour. We sinners encountered Jesus the Saviour, and he saved us by his wonderful grace. Now we'll see how Saul the sinner becomes Saul the saved sinner. Let's look at verses 10-19. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Could it really be true that Saul the sinner is now Saul the saved sinner? Ananias is having a bit of a hard time believing it. The Lord Jesus appears to Ananias in a vision and tells him to go to Saul. You think that'd be good enough. But Ananias doesn't immediately obey Jesus' command. He questions him. He expresses his fear because he's heard how much evil Saul has done to God's people in Jerusalem. And now he's come to Damascus to do the same thing. The Lord Jesus kindly alleviates Ananias' fears by assuring him that he has chosen Saul. Then Ananias responds in obedience. In Acts 9:26, we see a similar thing happen when Saul comes to Jerusalem. He tries to join the disciples, but they're all afraid of him and don't believe that he's actually a disciple. They think he's just pretending. He couldn't really be a disciple, could he? Saul the sinner surely couldn't now be Saul the Christian. A similar thing happened with Jeffrey Dahmer. After people found out that he became a Christian, some people questioned the sincerity of his faith. They doubted whether he was truly converted. Why did they do this? Why did they doubt that Jeffrey Dahmer, the sinner, was now Jeffrey Dahmer, the saved sinner? Because of what he did. Because of the horrific crimes he committed. They had a hard time accepting that God had actually saved this man. Ananias did the same thing with Saul, and so did the disciples in Jerusalem. From all the evidence we have no reason to doubt that Saul's conversion was genuine. Likewise, we have no reason to doubt that Jeffrey Dahmer's conversion was genuine, according to the accounts of those who spent time with him during his imprisonment. As much as we can tell that anyone is saved, and we can never know with absolute certainty, only God knows that, these men were both miraculously converted by God's grace. No one is beyond the reach of God's astounding grace. Saul, the great persecutor of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. Jeffrey Dahmer, the serial killer who committed horrific acts. Both saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. And it's the same with us. We are saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. We were sinners, and we're now saved sinners. Saul the sinner became Saul the saved sinner because of Jesus the Saviour. Let me read you Saul's own account of his conversion in 1 Timothy. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. What a beautiful testimony. Saul the sinner became Saul the saved sinner because of Jesus the Saviour. We sinners became saved sinners because of Jesus the Saviour. Praise be to God. Brothers and sisters, our salvation was a miracle. We deserve to be saved as much as Saul the persecutor and Jeffrey Dahmer the serial killer did. None of us deserve to be saved. And we were all equally undeserving. But for some reason, simply because God chose to show us mercy and grace instead of wrath and judgment, he saved us. And how did God save us? Through the death of his Son. Jesus faced the wrath and judgment we deserve so we could be saved from it. He took our sins on himself so we could be forgiven. And he reconciled us to his Father so we could be in a beautiful relationship with God now and forever. How overwhelmingly glorious is that? Let's rejoice in this miraculous salvation that's ours in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are overwhelmed by your grace this morning. As we considered your grace that you showed to Saul, someone who persecuted your church, who was fighting against you, and yet you chose to show him mercy and grace. Father, you are such a merciful and gracious and loving God that you show mercy to sinners who deserve your judgment. But Father, we see ourselves in Saul because really we're no different. Really, it is only time and circumstance that we're not Saul, that we're us here today. And Father, we know that you have shown that same level of mercy and grace to us, that we were as equally undeserving of your grace as Saul was. Father, please help us never to take your grace for granted. Help us never to think that we earned your salvation in some way, or we deserved it in some way, but that it's completely a gift from you because you're a gracious God. So, Father, please help us to rejoice in the salvation we have in Christ this week. Father, to rejoice in you. And, Father, that we would live our lives this week in response to your grace, that your gospel would shape everything we do and say and think, that it will motivate us to do everything for the glory of your wonderful name. Amen.